If you will, turn to Psalms 51 for me. Psalms 51. And not the title, but what we're going to talk about is Christianity. So I have four things I want to cover, and they all start with C. Whether that helps you or not. But congratulations, commitment, challenge, and to continue. So we're going to open with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for everything you've done. I ask that you would just help us as we look in your word. Help it to be what you want it to be. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to read 1 to 17. And obviously we know this was David. We know that this was when he had sinned and when he had it had been pointed out to him. And I want you to look at it through a lost person too. Your struggle, whatever happened in your life to get you to salvation, kind of goes hand in hand, so we'll cover it. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. That was pretty much the day you got saved. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. These again are things that we had to beg God. This is what happened during your salvation. You understood you were a sinner. You wanted him to blot out these things. Verse 5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. And if you look at some of these verses, obviously you're asking God, just like you did in your life, you ask him to forgive your sins. It wasn't anything that you really did. You were asking God to do it in your place. We understood we were a sinner. We understood that we needed Christ, but it was only Christ that could forgive us. Where was I? Verse 8, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Again, when you went from sin and you got saved, you had to get that. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Through us being saved, we can help convert others. Verse 14, deliver me from blood guiltness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. And if you've been saved, you want to sing. Verse 15, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. If you look in the end of that, it was a contrite heart. Dale did a very good message on that. A brokenness, a sorrow. You understand basically what God sees in you. And that, conveniently, is a C. So that fits in with our thing. The first thing I want to say is congratulations. And we had, from Youth Week, around Youth Week, that whole area, Pastor has talked about, we had a great harvest here. So I'm going to list the names that I know, and I'm going to ask you for others if I miss somebody. But we had Sharon, Josh, Lily, Autumn, Tim, Sam, Stephen, Nick, Mike and Tanya, and any others? Carl, okay. Any others that I'm forgetting or missing? Congratulations. Welcome to the family of God. It's an awesome, awesome thing that's happened. Don't ever forget it. Don't ever let it get old. When you're struggling, when you're fighting, when you're having issues, find that joy of the joy of your salvation. Get back to that. Get back to who gave you salvation, who you got it through. The second one was commitment. The Holy Ghost was working before salvation. You didn't just one day wake up and say, I feel like getting saved. You didn't just one day decide, I should go to church. The Holy Ghost was working before you got to salvation. Now, some of you obviously know that because you struggled for a long time to get there, which is fine. You got there. That's all that matters. Let it continue. As a picture I want to use is a child. And as a parent, you'll all notice this one. The first time the baby reached out and grabbed your finger, it meant a lot to you. They didn't really understand it. They just grabbed something. But then that grab leads into a smile as they grab your finger. Then it leads to them recognizing you, and it leads to crawling. It leads to walking. It leads to, that's your Christian life. Even if you've been in the house of God your whole life, from the point you get saved is a whole new birth. It's a whole new walk, if I can say that. You got to start over from square one and learn what God wants you to be. Let Him show you what you should be. Don't just say, I'm saved and I'm good to go, everything's wonderful. This is just the beginning. It's just the start. Amen. Another analogy I would use is a map. Let your Bible be a map to you on who you're supposed to be, who you're going to become. If you ever looked, if I say I want to go from here to Florida, today I can say, show me Florida and my phone will take me there. But years ago, you had to get a map out and you had to map your way to get there, or you might end up in California, God forbid. Amen. But you might end up in California. So your map, if you looked on your map, it had your directions, but it also had a little scale, like 0 to 100 miles, be about an inch or something like that. You could map how long it was going to take you or how it was going to get you there. Or you could map. Back in those days, you couldn't just get online and get a motel room. You had to call ahead days or whatever. You had to actually plan a trip out. Where today, you just punch in your GPS, you get an hour from where you want to sleep, and you get on your phone and you make a reservation and you pull in and you're there. Back in the old days, you didn't do that. You got a map out, you made a plan. I'm going to stop here. I got to call these motels. I got to call these places to set up for a place to be safe for the night or whatever. You had to have a way of figuring it out. That's what your Bible is. Your Bible is helping you to figure out the Christian life now that you become saved. It's not, again, oh, I'm saved now. Everything's good to go. No. What God wants to teach you individually is going to happen through this word, and it's true. It's His map to you. You can't just blindly show me, Lord. He might show you, but He also wants you in there daily, getting your nose in there, learning what He has for you to get your life on course. A lot of wounded people have gotten saved. And again, they can't just do it on their own. There's got to be a church. There's got to be the Bible. There's got to be somebody to help them through it, to navigate it. Again, some of you are smart enough. You know your Bible good enough. And that's great. But I challenge you, there's still, God has more for you. Don't just get complacent in it. Don't just expect God to just bless you by doing nothing. You have to do something. A famous phrase my brother-in-law used to always say is, you can't get there from here. And if you live in Pennsylvania, New York, you understand that. You want to go here, you got to go this way to get to there. It's the same thing in your Bible. You might feel you know where you need to go, but God might need to take you two states over to bring you back to where you want to go. But you got to be willing to surrender. You got to be willing to follow and allow Him to do His thing. Follow directions to get you there. No U-turns. Even with GPS, I've had to do U-turns several times.
Amen.
That's what this Bible's for, though. When you go off course, don't give up on it. Stay in your Bible. It'll bring you back. Amen. Your GPS might take you a whole different way, but your Bible will take you the right way. We get very complacent on our technology. We get very complacent on I can remember the first time we went to Florida, we had a map and we had our phones. Well, we had a GPS system then. And you followed the GPS, but you had the map there for backup. And I found about the third trip we went to Florida, I said, well, we were 4 or 5 hours in, I said, where's that map at? I didn't grab it. Well, if this GPS doesn't work, we're in trouble. That's the way the Christian life is. If you just get complacent to not worry about reading your map, you're going to get lost big time. You got to stay on the map, stay with it. That brings me to membership. Pastor Asketh brought this up a couple weeks ago. If you've gotten saved lately and you would like to become a member of the church, talk to Ronnie or I or him, and I'll even lay it out for you. We will give you a constitution, copy of our constitution. You can read it, you can throw it away, that's up to you. But membership is something you should desire now that you're saved. There's many organizations out there, and I'll just throw out like Legion and stuff like that. In theory, they're good organizations. Obviously, they don't stand where we stand. They don't follow things we stand. Most people wouldn't have a problem joining one of those organizations. Why won't you join your church? Why won't you get involved? There are members of this church that kept the lights on, that kept it going, that had a pastor here so that you guys could get saved.
Right.
Be part of the membership. Have a vote. Have a say. Don't sit back and say, well, I wouldn't have done that. Have a vote. Become a member. We're not very stringent on membership. We don't. We tell you that we have to have a meeting. And with the deacons, a couple of you have been through it. We don't ask for blood. We don't ask for DNA samples. We don't ask for birthrights to your third born. We just talk to you. We want to hear your salvation story. Could be 2 minutes. Could be 10 minutes. I don't care. A salvation story. You need to be baptized and not in no membership to another church. And that's not, we're not excluding, oh, they're not as good as we are. We believe you should be only a member of this church. You shouldn't be able to go and vote over there and come over here and vote over here when you feel like it. You need to be to this church, dedicated to this church. So we ask you to give up any other memberships so that you can be a member at this church. Then it's obviously brought before the church and it's voted on. I have not yet heard anybody get voted down. So it's not something you should worry about. It's not something that you should stay up at night about. It's an easy thing. It's an easy process. If you love the Lord, you should have that desire to follow the Lord. Membership is a good spot. I'm going to go to their third part, and it's the challenge. Now, I might step on some toes eventually on this, and I apologize. But the challenge is the backbone of our church, and most people are going to say, pastors, leadership, good answers. I want to say it's our servants of our church.
Amen.
Now, you have, you saw today, Jen, Jody, all got to go out the door, Tanya usually, to make a meal for us. They don't get to stay for the whole service. They don't get to enjoy everything that's going on. Thankfully, I've seen younger kids down there serving as well, as wiping down tables, cleaning up. There is no age requirement to be a servant. If you have that heart, which I hope you do, you have no problem cleaning up tables, changing garbage, helping out these servants. There's a bunch of, and I'll just name off some of the positions in our church that are important, whether people realize they are or not. We have trustees. We have treasurer. We have a secretary. Piano players. Deacons. This one's to Tim. Lawnmowers. That's an inside joke with Tim. Anyways, lawnmowers, garbage collectors, cleaners, historians, librarian, light turner offer, paper filler upper, empty dehumidifiers, soundboard. Are you catching what I'm saying? There's a lot of people that go in to having Sunday services and Wednesday services. It doesn't just happen. It doesn't just magically happen and everything comes together, that we have services, that the bills are paid, that we have a place to come and worship. Now back to the servant, where I started with this, with the servants of the church. When you're making those meals, and I'll bring up Youth Week, because that was when souls were stirred, when souls were come to know Jesus. If it wasn't for our servants, do you think we would have had the reward we did?
No, sir.
They were willing to give up their time, their effort, hours that you never saw, hours that you didn't know about. We had helpers here or there that would help out. But would we have had the reward we did? Now, that being said, we're all going to get crowns, they say. Can I say that you hostesses, you servants, got a little piece of that crown?
Amen. And make it work.
The next, this is to be an encouragement, I'm hoping. The next time that you're about had enough, you've wanted to walk out the door, you've had enough of everybody complaining, whining, crying, just remember that because you did that, this whole list that I listed earlier,
that's right,
you had something in their salvation. You had a part of it. Every one of those that I listed, all those positions, you had a part in their salvation. Because if the garbage wasn't picked up to where they could sit and listen, if the food wasn't there that was donated, wasn't there, and they went hungry, their bellies would have been growling and they wouldn't have been able to hear the word of God. They wouldn't be able to hear a spirit. Pastor talked about it before Youth Week. Be one of those people that doesn't get noticed. That was an excellent point. If you're doing it to not draw attention to yourself, you're going to get a reward.
Amen.
If you're saying, I just changed the garbage, that's your reward. The Bible tells you that.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Your reward. So, may I say, all of these people that I just listed off and others that I'm forgetting, you had a part in those salvations.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Not to brag. Don't get pride over it. You had a part in their salvations.
Right.
If all you did was pray for the people that were lost,
amen,
you had a part in their salvation. I don't expect to get to heaven and have many crowns because I let my mouth run too much and it gets me in trouble. I don't expect to have a lot of crowns, but if I can have just a chip of somebody's crown because I did something right,
amen,
it'll be worth it. So now that I've said all that, the challenge is obviously think about helping. Don't leave it to the same group of people to do it every single time. They're going to get wore out. They're going to get wore down. They're not going to want to do it anymore. Now, again, we love everybody. We love everybody that's here. We love everything that happens here. I would love it that we all could just come in here, sit here, sing, be happy. The food just appeared on the table. It was just cleaned up magically. Wouldn't that be nice? Somebody has to give of their time and their effort. Somebody has to do it. Why not you? Why just walk away and leave it for somebody else? I'm going to hit something I skipped real quickly. If you were in those positions and you were here at Youth Week and you did something and you, like I said, you were part of what happened here, we think of the evangelists or the speakers, and they have a great impact. I'm not trying to take any light from them.
Come on, man.
But if you weren't here, they've been preaching to nobody.
That's right.
If you weren't filling positions and doing things, the evangelists would have been preaching in it to an empty stadium here, and nobody would have got saved. Okay? I'm not saying you're better than an evangelist, but you're just as good.
Amen.
You're just as good as...
That's right.
Filling a position is just as good as preaching the word.
Amen.
So, try helping out. Go to John 13. New Testament, John 13. We're going to go to verse 9. We'll start out at verse 9. This is a very common story. I mean, not by common, I mean we've all understood it, but Jesus is talking to the disciples, and Jesus is going to wash their feet. That's the background to it. And verse 9, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Simon Peter had understood what God was doing or what Jesus was doing. He said, just wash all of me. Take care of it all. Go down to verse 12 through 17. So after he had washed their feet, he had taken their garments and was set down again. He said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. Now I've seen some of your feet, and that would be kind of tough for me to do, just being honest. That'd be awful tough for me. Anyways, verse 15, for I have given you an example. What did he give? He gave you an example. He himself gave us an example how to serve other people, how to serve other believers. Verse 15 again, for I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. So it's saying, if you can be a servant, and you can do it without griping, blessed are you. I'm going to tell you right now, I can get pretty gripey at times. That's not a blessing to me, is it? It's not. Verse 20, I'm going to drop down to. I'm going to cover this. It might not make sense to you. It did to my little mind. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send. Somebody's sending somebody in. I'm going to break this really down to my thoughts. This is not Pastor Asquith's thoughts. These are my small thoughts. But I say unto you, he that receiveth somebody, if you're willing to come here so that others can come in and be received, this is the way I'm taking it, I send, receive me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. By us doing those things, we're waiting for who Jesus is going to send in.
Amen.
And we're going to do our best to see that they get what they're supposed to get when they're here. Not just sing some songs and have a happy life. We're supposed to be doing our best, whether that means greeting or bringing people in or whatever it means. He's going to send them to us. We got to receive them, and we got to help those people. We got to do our best for them. Hopping off of that quick, the ladies asked probably 2 months ago, had Pastor Hain ask, if they could get volunteers, or helpers, so that they could get a week off. I'm not going to ask for anybody to raise hands, but how many do you think they got? My guess is I've seen all three of them down there every single week. I'm going to say probably not a lot. Not a lot of people went to the ladies and said, I will give up a week so that you can go set with your family. Or I will give you a week to enjoy the services. I saw Miss Jen come in, missed the first 5 minutes of the service again because she's down there cleaning everything up. Why can't other people volunteer to help? I'm going to go off of that even farther. That this wasn't even in my message till Saturday when we got here to clean. The teens cleaned. And I counted at least 5 chairs downstairs that I had to wipe food off the chair before I could put it back in its place. We picked up trash. We picked up food off the floor. We're not a bunch of animals.
Come on.
Food is provided for you. Or you provide food does not give you the right to get up and walk away from the table and leave it a mess.
Well,
it does not give you the right to expect somebody else to do it. If you leave a mess, clean the mess up.
Amen.
We found, it's neither here nor there. Just today, I'm sorry I'm getting off course.
Well,
just today I went in the bathroom to go to the bathroom, and there is urine all over the top of the toilet. Men, if you can't go to the bathroom and miss the bowl, sit down. My wife taught me from the first day of marriage to set my butt down and not make a mess. If you cannot, there's urine on the floor, there's urine on the bowl. I'm sorry. This is the house of God.
Amen.
Why are we leaving it like this and expect somebody else to do it?
Yeah.
Come on, brother.
Somebody needs to give me a hammer because I just... I was not going to bring this up, but we should not, as we say we're all on one accord, we love each other, we want to do everything for each other, and yet we leave the basement look like a hole. We have rats because we left the basement like a hole. Do your part. You see something that's uncovered, cover it up. If you see something that needs... It's not hard. It's common sense, folks. You all partake of the basement. You all partake of the food. Do your part. Make it to the garbage can. If it's a mess, find a hostess that'll give you a white rag and clean it up.
Many hands make light of work.
Amen.
Amen. There's too many, in my opinion, that just are reaping the reward without doing any work. Now to get back on a happy note, go to Matthew 13. And then to say the hostesses, even if you don't want to help for take a week, if you go down and ask them, can I do something for you? More than likely, they'll probably give you a job. It's not hard. Again, Pastor Haynes said for years, give the person that has many jobs the job to do because it'll get done. It shouldn't be that way. We should all be looking for a way to serve our church.
Amen.
Number four was continue. Matthew 13:23. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bring forth some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. If you're here, and get back, I'm getting back to all the different positions of the church, Sunday school teacher, whatever you may be, you're going to reap some. That verse just said right there, if you're helping out, you're bearing fruit so that some can increase, others can increase, others can increase. If you're just coming here to fill a pew, you're not getting anything out of it other than the words that are being said. Get involved, find a position to do. Volunteer to clean the windows. If you see a cobweb, go ask somebody to knock it. Get a thing so you can knock it down. It's the house of God. I get it. It's a building just like any other building, but it's our building. It's the building God gave to us.
Amen.
So that we can worship together. Even when four jobs and no one steps up, it's worth the kingdom of God. So this is an encouragement to those that do with it day in, day out. You ladies, do with it week in, week out. It's worth the kingdom of God, okay? You're diligent, you're muddling through it. Even when you're not happy, you're still going forward. It's worth the kingdom of God, okay? You will get your reward one day for the work you do today.
Amen.
That's the challenge to the church. It's worth the reward someday for the work you're going to do today.
That's right.
With that, we're going to close in prayer. Lord, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your strength, for your mercies. I thank you for these three gentlemen that just graduated out of our class. We're going to miss them, but we thank you for them. We thank you for what they offered our class, and we just pray the best for them in their life.
Thank you for your love and your strength. Thank you for the opportunity to be here, Lord.